Good morning.
Morning.
Beautiful sunshine outside. Get your grass mowed tomorrow because rain's coming back. Too soon to quit. Somebody said it was potluck Sunday. We're going to talk about gluttony. No. No, we're not. That was unplanned this morning. I was sitting there in my recliner. I always like to watch Southern Gospel videos, music videos, and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, it is potluck. My sermon title goes well with that. Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to begin. I would encourage you to, if you didn't bring your Bible, go ahead and grab a Bible in front of you and open up to that passage. I did not give you a slide. We do something different. I invite you to open up your scripture to Luke chapter 14, and if you want to, be standing with me for the reading of the scripture. As we give homage to respect to what Jesus has said to us this morning as we get started. Luke chapter 14, begin 25, great multitudes were going along with Jesus. He turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and he asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions. Salt is good, but even if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It's useless, either for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may be seated. Too soon to quit. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. Johnny suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, and compound fractures in his legs. And it did not look as if he would live, but he would not give up. And in fact, he later ran the half mile in less than 2 minutes. I can't do that, and I was healthy when I was a kid. Walt Davis was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9 years old, but he did not give up. He became the Olympic high jump champion in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed by polio when she was 5 years old, but she would not give up. She eventually claimed 8 different swimming records for the U.S. and won a gold medal at the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. There's a guy by the name of Lou Gehrig. He was such a clumsy ball player that the boys in his neighborhood would not let him play on their team. But he was committed, and he did not give up. Eventually, his name was entered into the baseball's Hall of Fame. Woodrow Wilson. He could not read until he was 10 years old, but he was a committed person, and he became the 28th president of the United States. We can read and we hear countless stories of determination to succeed. Men and women, boys and girls, who battle through the pain and seemingly hopeless situations of their lives, they can ultimately accomplish amazing things. It's simply mind-boggling what the human mind and the body can fight through to live. God has made us such wonderful creatures with gifts, with talents, and reasoning abilities to ultimately conquer the world. when faced with no other option, humans succeed. But when it seems that we're proposed with a way out, perhaps a way to bypass the pain, a perceived greener pasture on the other side of the fence, many times we become distracted from our purpose, our calling that's right there in front of us. And so many times we are faced with a temptation of quitting. Here in this passage that we looked at in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is testing our personal resolve to follow him. How badly do I, as an individual, how badly do I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line. What are we willing to give up to know that we are his? How much are we willing to pay? What are we willing to go through in order to walk pleasing to the Lord? And he finishes his statement here. If we have ears to hear, we need to listen to what Jesus is saying to us here. To find that key to perseverance within us, primarily it comes from our personal devotion to Jesus Christ. To place priority upon the relationship with him, me to him. And yes, Christian success is found in the standing firm within the favor of God, not being swayed side to side with the winds of time or being stymied because of too many distractions, that we as Christians would stand firm in Jesus. But sometimes our physical nature becomes the deal closure in our God relationship. Too often, the patterns of daily duties that we execute become the patterns of our Christian duties. And it just becomes a menial task. And if we succumb to the temptations to quit at menial tasks, go here with me, if we fight, succumb to that temptation to quit at the menial tasks of life many times, then we will fail when the pressure comes that threatens our spiritual resolve. In other words, if I find myself quitting and bailing out on little bitty circumstances of life, when we're talking spiritual and the pressure comes, the persecution comes, what am I going to do spiritually? And so Jesus is saying, look, it's not a matter of just following me and living life happy and free. It's about counting the cost as to how important am I going to be to you? Am I going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I going to emulate the way that he responded to pressure? Aren't we thankful this morning that he didn't quit? Because if Jesus had quit, where would we be? Not here. It's too soon to quit on God, amen? It is too soon to become apathetic and complacent in our spiritual life. So, the question that we are considering this morning, how can I make my life a success? How can I continue to climb? You like this picture? How do you continue to climb that ladder up through the clouds to get as high in my relationship with God as I can? It's too soon to quit. Maybe we can start this idea of our relationship with God and understanding our personal thing is by laying down a few rules, I think, that need to be in place internally for living. Number one, if you start a thing, finish it. The daily discipline to complete a task. As simple. Do you teach your kids this? Do you teach your grandkids this? Do you teach yourself this? When you start something, complete it. How many quilt tops lay in a box in the corner? You started well. Some of us will never find those quilts and enjoy the covering effects of them. How many projects lay in the shop floor partially done? But you see, it wasn't turning out the way that I wanted. It's not worth the effort it would take to complete it. Maybe. But that's not the point. The point of this is you. You are the point. No matter what the activity, discipline is training. And so my exhortation to us as a group, train yourself unto completion. If it's worth starting, guys, it's worth finishing. That bathroom remodel, that kitchen remodel that she's been on to you for years, if it's worth starting, it's worth finishing it. I find that my wife is much happier with a completed job than a one that takes forever or that's not done. In any situation, in any activity, in any project, there are always plausible reasons for quitting. They're always there to pick. Oh, I ran out of money. Jesus said, did you not count the cost? Oh, I've lost that vision. I just don't have the heart for it anymore. It got hot. It started raining. The snakes are moving now. Those are real deals, guys, at my house. But get this. The thrill that we feel at the idea's conception. So many times the interest in that concept can simply evaporate. We get all excited about an idea. And then we just bail out on it just about as quick as it came up. You know, Henry Ford began building his first car in his little shop at the back of his house. He had a dream, a vision that was ahead of his time, and he worked diligently. But very quickly, he became dreadfully aware of so many ways that he could have improved his car that he almost quit his first car and started the second one. But something inside him wouldn't let him stop. And he went on to complete that first edition. In the end, he found that by pressing on and finishing the first car, he learned more of the complete concept of building automobiles. You see, instead of a little bit better, his second one was much improved. The temptation to quit might be shrouded with the deception that there is a better way to do it or a better way to build it. But there may be a better way, but don't quit. Because I want us to understand as people, you individually are worth the effort. It helps you if you will complete the task. Even if there might have been a better way to do it. There's always more than one way to skin a cat. That's what I was raised. But it doesn't mean that the job doesn't need to be done. Now, spiritually, many times, this can happen as well. We start a walk with God, and sometimes along the way, we lose our vision. We lose the path that we're to follow. We want to quit because we see nothing at all in front of us. There's no excitement. There's no answers to our questions many times. There's no results to our effort to date. And so we have to ask the question, what is happening to me here? Why have I lost touch with reality? Now, let me exhort us. If we start to walk in full faith with prayer and God's guidance, beware of the pressure that Satan is going to use to try to stop you. And remember, when you feel stopped or being held back in your spiritual relationship, that's not from God. That persuasion to stop, to quit, to bail is not a persuasion from God. Notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7 and 8. You were running well, he wrote to the Galatians. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now these Christians had bought in lock, stock, and barrel to the idea that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had died for their sins and they were buried there, immersed in Christ. They put on Christ. They were looking good. And then somebody came in and persuaded them that they needed to become circumcised like the old law and needed to follow the words of Moses instead of Christ. And Paul says, look, who's hindering you from obeying the truth? This persuasion that you're getting did not come from him who calls you. Now, this was an outside influence that was coming in and throwing shade on the gospel that they believed in and responded to. And maybe in your life, maybe it is the influence of others that's affecting your walk with God, but maybe not. It's important that we ask ourselves the same question that Paul asked them. Who or what is hindering me from obeying God? What's holding me back? Now, Paul is in prison, and he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. And he says these words to Timothy. He says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Now, Paul was experiencing God appointments. Later on, he explains that he was appointed to be a preacher, to be an apostle, and to be a teacher. Those were his God appointments. But suffering has happened. Paul has been thrown in jail, and yet Paul continued to trust his calling, and he continued to trust his God. Why? Because Paul had his faith not in things, but in an unchanging God. It's too soon to quit. And so he begins to exhort Timothy that Timothy would not be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be scared of sharing your testimony. Yeah, I'm in prison and I'm telling you that. You may join me, but don't be ashamed of me, but join me in suffering for the gospel, because that is the power of God. Follow my example. Tell the world about what Jesus has done for you, because suffering for the gospel is not a reason to quit. Ever. Can I get an amen? Suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a reason to quit the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:12. The reason that I suffer these things, and I'm not ashamed, he says, for I am convinced, and I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That's the key. Your faith and your confidence has to be in the unchanging plan of God, not in the changing things of this world. The test of your faith will last as long as it takes to pass, and it will pass. Number two, following faithfully on never leads into permanent darkness. You may feel dark times in the midst of the trial, but what's the phrase say? There's light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe that light is a deliverance from this life. Maybe your trial becomes so much it takes your life. That's okay, because God's still a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't lose sight of him. Following faithfully on to God never leads into permanent darkness. And Paul was convinced of God's faithfulness, and he shares it with us in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. He says, "I'm confident of this very thing." He's talking to the Christians, and I'm talking to you Christians today. We're confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand something. Completion is not found until the final revealing of our Savior. Notice the wording. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're here living and breathing. We're not completed. We're still in that until. We're still in that dash, if you will. You're still alive. You're still breathing. We still got to serve. We still got life to live. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Keep loving people. Keep serving him. You may feel like you're in the dark now, but following faithfully on will lead to ultimate light, not permanent darkness. It's too soon to quit. But for the quitter, God just bails out on God. All he is likely to get is a stronger habit of quitting. You notice that? Quitters quit, and they never win. That's right. You have a stronger habit of quitting, and you have a lower place to begin again. No one likes starting over at the bottom. You ever been laid off from a job? You moved up in the company, and all of a sudden, things got chopped out from under you, and you found out, I got entry level now. Nobody likes doing that. You got 4 weeks of vacation built up. and then all of a sudden you don't have any. It's not fun. Been there. We don't like starting over at the bottom. And no one likes to lose what they have gained. And yet that's what quitters experience. And they experience that continually, and many times it leads ultimately in their personal lives, leads to discouragement, it leads to depression, and sadly at times it leads to suicide. Because the mind is made up that they just quit. Persevering through pain always strengthens. What's that song? If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. I don't believe that. Sometimes it hurts. It makes you weaker. But persevering through pain spiritually always strengthens. It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your resolve. It strengthens your character and strengthens your hope. Because you know there's something, a phenomenon, physically, that I believe is true even spiritually. In the emergence out of the cloud, that's when the sun is the brightest. That's when you got to put on sunshades. But that's when Jesus becomes the most evident to us. He's brought us through that valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? I will fear no evil. For why? Thou art with me. Can we learn? Number three. Can we learn the discipline of determination? You know, the theater of this drama is ourselves. The mind, it can forge a circumstance into a shackle, or it can lift us to a sphere where the events are plastic. It's up to us. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 3. If you want to use your Bible, I did not give you a slide, sorry. Mark chapter 3. Jesus says this in verses 25 through 27, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished, and we understand that. Do we understand this about ourselves? But no one, Jesus says, can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. What do I mean by that? The thought is that maybe I'm too quick to surrender to situations or even people's influences that distract me from the end goal. Maybe I am the strong man, but I am giving my hands to be bound. You see, I have the choice to whether rise above the circumstances or let the circumstances control me. And Satan cannot have that influence in my life unless I allow him to, unless I take my eyes off of Jesus. Having questions in my life, or even doubt, is not the animal that kills in and of itself. But when we forget the power of the Almighty God, and we forget His promise to never leave us or forsake us, when our faith is moving from God unto a conviction that the trial is bigger than even God can handle, then we are in the deepness that will threaten to swallow us. When our faith has moved from God and onto the circumstance, we have dethroned God and have become idol worshipers. We are prisoners to our circumstances. God is bigger than that, isn't He? And He can sustain us, and He can hold us in the darkest of times. Consider it all joy, James 1. My brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's what we're talking about. It's too soon to quit. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Maybe I lack so much in my personal life many times is that because I don't stick to anything. When things get hard, I look for my bailout. I look for my get out of hell free card. Who's going to bail me out or run to the church? I get into financial difficulty. They have compassion on me. Really? When are we going to take the initiative to be what God has created to be and say, you know what? God is bigger than these circumstances, and with God's help, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure. I'm going to hang on to Him, and I'm going to live in accordance to what He has called me to be. That's His child, and let Him take care of the rest. If the people of God want to bail in and help you, let them. But don't go begging. Don't go begging. Can we learn the discipline or determination? Keep on. To push on. To press on. Endurance, James says. Count it joy. We could spend all day talking about that. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Maybe this is a passage we need to read every day and remind ourselves that there is a purpose to pain. And that's to test our resolve. How important is God to us? Let this endurance have its perfect result. We have need of endurance. We have need of courage to trust the hand of God in the realm of the unknown. Amen? We have need to allow faith to conquer the heart of fear within us and press on. Quitting makes a dead end of any road, often just as it was opened. The cross wasn't easy, was it? Determination to finish is a discipline of life that I believe I need, we all need. A change of scenery many times is an excuse to run from our own nature. A denial of our own inadequacies. And so instead of dealing with ourselves and repenting before God of our tendency to quit too quick, we just run. My exhortation to us is train yourself unto completion, even spiritually, or especially spiritually. Because if you're training yourself unto completion spiritually, it will bleed over into your physical life. That the decisions you make on a daily basis will mirror the decisions you make spiritually. In all of this, don't forget Jesus. He is our ultimate example. We find in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49, as he began as a small child, he told his mother, he says, "Am I not to be about my Father's business?" We found him in the temple, talking, teaching the guys that were supposed to teach the old law. He was there, and he was talking with them about his Father's business. Luke chapter 2. In the strength of manhood, Jesus declared, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." John 4:34. That was Jesus' resolve. That was Jesus' call. When earthly service was complete, when he had shown us how to do life, Jesus could pray to his Almighty God, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." John chapter 17. And from the cross, we heard Jesus ring out his triumphant cry, "It is finished." It's done. He completed the work that Jesus gave, that God gave him to do, and he completed it as well as the Son of God could do it, perfectly. Our salvation was dependent on a Savior. But Jesus couldn't be that Savior unless he finished the course that was set before him. Therefore, let us run with direction. Let us run with determination. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Because there's some things that are just holding us back that aren't sin in and of themselves. Let us identify those things and realize how much our dependency needs to be on Jesus and not on these things that surround us. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let endurance have its complete work, all the while looking unto Jesus, our front runner, the author, the perfecter of our hope. He is our life both now and forevermore. You know, Paul cried out, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, and therefore I can suffer for him." His life echoed his determination that it is too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit. I know God is able, and I know that God will bring me into glory with him. Do you know that? Are you convinced of that in your life? And so we press on. We forget what's behind us. We forget about those things that are there tripping to threatening to trip us up. And then we look ahead to the future in Jesus. The prize awaits. The glory is at the end of the road. Brothers and sisters, it's too soon to quit. We're going to sing a closing song. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand." Is that you? Is that your life? I hope it is. Let me encourage you today. It's too soon to quit. If you're not on the road, let's get on that. If you need to speak with one of the elders and receive the information that you need so that we can help you grow in that relationship with God, then do that. Make your need known. But don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. It's too soon to quit. Let's stand together as we sing this song. My